Hello and welcome to Simply Save, a weekly personal finance podcast from Money Control, where we discuss all things money. Now, International Women's Day, which falls on March 8th, is just a few days away. We at Money Control Personal Finance will be bringing you a special series of stories and podcasts on women in the field of money management over the next few days. They will be sharing their stories of successes and challenges that they have faced during their careers, besides guiding women on handling their money matters. Our guest on this episode of Simply Save is a fund management veteran, Jyoti Vaswani, Chief Investment Officer, Reliance Nippon Life Insurance, who has over 25 years of experience in this space. She has earlier held investment management at Aviva and Future Generali Life Insurance. Hello, Ms. Vaswani. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Preeti. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. It's great to have you here just before Women's Day. Let's start with the role of women in investment management space, particularly insurance, of course. Now, we see relatively fewer women in this space. Why do you think that is so?
So, a research report released by Morningstar in March 20 actually shows that 90% of the assets managed by women fund managers in India outperformed their peers over the last 5 years. Despite this, only 28 out of 352 mutual fund managers, co-managers in India are women. As a percentage, actually, this works out only 8%. Okay. Right. And a research in US also shows that only 11% of the US fund managers were women in 2019. Now, the average, global average for female fund managers is also not very high, and it's at only 14%. Okay. And even US falls below this global average. So clearly, this is not only an India-specific issue. I guess this is a global issue. Now, what could be the reasons for this? And I can talk more of India, so I'll speak more from an Indian perspective.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For one, I think, fewer women than men seek and earn the credentials that asset management companies typically want. So therefore, maybe we need more women MBAs and CFAs who meet the credential criteria for entering the investment arena. The second reason could be the deep-rooted societal features, in the sense that there seems to be a perception of what it takes to be a talented fund manager. There is a tendency to laud those fund managers who do well as possessing some form of an exceptional investment aptitude. And sometimes actually it is just luck that they have performed. Take away the capability, but sometimes it's also luck which plays a part. Now, one of the problems with this is that there is a tendency to erroneously associate possession of such inherent talent only with men. And there is a wrongful assumption that certain characteristics associated with fund management skill, and these are the characteristics which often which overwhelm investor decision-making. So, for example, investors are very susceptible to mistake confidence for competence, right? Especially in the fund management industry, where investors rely on how compelling or convincing the individual fund manager is, So, I think, and there is a challenge there, because women are perceived to be less confident than men. So, if confidence is perceived as competence, and there is certain characteristics which are associated with, men. This is where I think the challenge also comes in terms of an investor perception about what a fund manager is or should be like. Okay. And probably the third reason could be the belief that, superior fund performance must be due to an individual who is constantly poring over his portfolio 24/7. And this kind of further raises the hurdle for women, who are more likely to have extended time away from work due to factors such as childcare and other responsibilities. So I think, even that plays some role in this. And I think also the fact that there are lesser role models in fund management space, as we talked about, the percentage is like really low.
True.
There are just 8-10% women. So there are lesser role models, and therefore it does not attract more women into the field. So it is a chicken and egg situation, right? So that's also probably one of the challenges. So if you see a lot of women in that space, and there is more inspiration to join that arena and gives confidence to women that, okay, even I can do it. So I think that's also one of the reasons. So probably these are some of the reasons why you see fewer women in the investment space.
Okay. Personally, what challenges have you encountered in this field, which as we just discussed, has largely been male-dominated over the years?
Okay, I entered the investment field at a time where there were very few women in the space, even fewer than what they are today, right? So when women do manage to break the glass ceiling and enter into a male-dominated field, they do have to demonstrate an additional level of talent and work much harder to prove their competence. Okay, there is an inherent tendency to be more critical of any errors committed by women as compared to men. So one is all the time under scrutiny and being judged. Mm-hmm. So it requires more grit and determination to make a success in this field. In fact, I think this is true for most male-dominated professions like, you know, pilots or, you know, army or, you know, navy or any male-dominated profession. And this would be true for all of them, you know. So you need to be very strong and confident. They say that a successful woman is one who can build a firm foundation with the bricks that others have thrown at her. Okay. I think that's what you need to actually do to, you know, kind of make your mark in a male-dominated field. It's getting a little easier now. Of course, as I said, when I joined, things were, you know, the number of women were even lower. But I think now it's much better, and it's a profession which, you know, women should really take up.
Okay. What steps do you think that institutions can take or organizations can take to attract more women into this space?
So I think organizations are, I think most large organizations are, you know, working on and do have diversity and inclusion as one of their major, goals. And diversity and inclusion doesn't mean only gender diversity, but diversity across, you know, various other parameters like color and caste and creed and everything else. So I think that is a conscious effort which most organizations are already making. I think it's less of a demand problem and more of a supply issue is the way I would look at it, right?
Okay.
And as I just talked about, you know, about the credentials bit and about the perception bit, which needs to really be changed in a society. So I think it would be, while organizations can do their bit to, you know, promote talent within the organization and hire as much as, diverse talent pool that they can, it also works, and the organizations can also build that talent pool to a large extent by, you know, actually doing some, campus recruitments, going into campuses and, you know, giving the requirements and encouraging people to, you know, kind of hire, take on more women. But it is also more on women themselves to take it up as a career. So I think it's both demand and supply which plays a role here. And I think we need to be, you know, managing both of that. So I think organizations are trying to focus a lot on diversity and inclusion, and they are constantly working towards that.
Okay. Are there any specific strengths that women fund managers possess that organizations can leverage for better or more efficient investment management?
Yes, of course. I think some of the inherent qualities that women possess by nature that differentiates them from their male counterparts in their approach to investing would be that, you know, women are usually more risk conscious and therefore are balanced fund managers. They tend to emphasize more on risk reduction in their portfolio construction, and they usually will have a well diversified portfolio, and diversified portfolios usually tend to outperform in the long term. And the second thing would be that they normally would have a very long-term investment perspective than men. And this, again, works in their favor. I think the third thing would be that women admit mistakes. And I think that is very important. Because exiting a position while it is still a mistake, okay, rather than a disaster, can also help minimize drawdowns, right? So since women admit mistakes, they are able to exit their positions while it is still not too late. I think that is another strength which differentiates a woman fund manager. So all these are things which will actually, having a diversified workforce always is, the key to a successful organization. And I think
Every gender and every diversity has its own strengths, and that they bring to the table. And I think that really works well for the organization as a whole.
Right. So this is about women in the professional money management space. And now, if we shift our focus to women and their personal finance affairs, what do you think are their strengths and weaknesses when it comes to managing money?
So when it comes to investments in finance, the narrative has always been dominated by the stereotype belief that men are good with investing and women are good with saving, right? However, I think this gender investing gap is now closing. After all, savings and investments are indeed just two sides of the same coin. So let's start with strengths. I think the truth is that the women are not only good savers, but they're also good financial managers. And almost all women manage their household budget and always manage to save, right? Now, do you know exactly how much to allocate to each item of expenditure? And not only not exceed the household budget, but also manage to save quite a sum, right? So this is a classic example of financial acumen, according to me. So women by nature, and I've already spoken about it, that they are more risk conscious, and this makes them a balanced investor. And they tend to think long term, which again is an essential quality for being a successful investor. So these are some of the strengths which women inherently possess, and which really works well for, investments. In terms of weaknesses, I think the biggest weakness, according to me, is the perception that we women have about ourselves, that we are not good investors, okay? So most women are not just unwilling to manage money. They still rely on the male members in the family to make their investments or financial plans. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent, right? And I think that's where what we need to control. And our own perception about our money management skills, our perception that we can't manage money, I think that is something which we need to change. And if you're able to do that, half the battle is anyway won, right?
Right.
Women need to acknowledge that managing one's own money and family finances is not rocket science. It can be mastered with a little bit of patience, effort, and open mind. They should not shy away from holding or operating bank accounts, trading accounts, demat accounts, or even holding assets in their own name. So I think they need to focus on overcoming these weaknesses. And I don't think it's difficult at all.
Any mistakes that you think they must avoid? Because we've spoken about weaknesses, but any specific mistakes that you've seen people making, women that is making, and that you think they must avoid when it comes to their own money affairs?
First of all, I would say don't rely on someone else for your financial security.
Correct.
Like, even if it's your husband or your father, you have to educate yourself about money management and investing and be financially independent. That is one. I think you should be involved in the day-to-day management of your family's finances and talk about money with your spouse or male members in the house. It's good to have those conversations. Then I think you also need to build an emergency fund. I think if you happen to lose your job or you happen to incur a large unexpected expenditure, it's always good to have an emergency fund. Else you can get into a financial debt, and that would be difficult to get out from. And last and not the least, I would say is learn from your money mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. Don't let mistakes hobble or discourage you. And trust me, all the men who manage your money are also making mistakes, and they're learning from it. So there is nothing wrong in making mistakes while managing money. You just need to learn from it and don't get discouraged by it.
So finally, based on your experience in investment management, what according to you are three money lessons that women ought to be aware of?
So as I said, don't let the fear of losing money or a fear of failure or fear of an unknown stop you from investing. Even though you don't have to be a stock market expert, just knowing the basics, can help you communicate your goals and understand what's happening with your money. So the first lesson would be, as a thumb rule, typically households should try to save 25 to 30% of their income.
Okay.
But it does not end there. Savings stashed away under the mattresses or kept in the cupboard will actually earn you nothing, and the value will erode. over time as inflation will reduce your purchasing power. And we all know what happens when demonetization happens, right?
Right.
So, you know, the money becomes worthless. So the savings invested in physical, so you need to invest that money. Similarly, savings invested in physical assets like gold will appreciate over time, but will provide you no returns in the interim. So it is important to ensure that one saving is invested in a well-balanced portfolio, keeping in mind your financial goals. The second lesson, I think, would be, and I already alluded to earlier, was about this emergency fund, you know. Money, you, as the name suggests, you know, money kept aside for emergency use is what is an emergency fund. And it is typically a good practice to keep 6 months to 1 year's expenses as an emergency fund. Now, while calculating your expenses, you need to include everything like food, utility bills, rents, EMIs, etc. And instead of keeping it idle in a savings bank account, you should invest it in something like a liquid fund, which will, you know, which will give you a little higher return and also provide you the same amount of, nearly the same amount of liquidity as a savings bank account. So that would be something which, you know, women should do. The third lesson would be to follow the 100 minus age rule. Okay. The 100 minus age rule is a great way to determine one's asset allocation. That is, how much you should allocate into equities and how much you should invest in debt. So, for example, if you, you know, you need to just subtract your age from 100 and the number you arrive at is the percentage which you should invest in equities and the remaining in debt. Just to give an example, if you're 25 years old and say you want to invest 10,000 rupees per month, if you use the 100 minus age rule, the percentage that you invest in equity would be 100 minus 25, which is 75%. That means 7,500 rupees will go into equities and 2,500 rupees into debt. So that's the way, you know, that's a simple thumb rule which you should follow. So these are some of the, you know, thumb rules which have evolved over a period of time. And this is, you know, makes managing money a little easier for anyone, and be it men or women. And this should be used, you know, in the investment, in their investments by women.
Right. It's interesting that you mentioned this 100 minus age thumb rule. I just wanted to ask you, have you seen more women, have you seen women being more risk averse even within financial instruments? Do you see them shying away from equities? And do you think they need to be more confident about investing in equities?
So, as I said, I think it's about being more risk conscious, I would say, maybe having a little lower risk appetite compared to men. Yes, I think that is an inherent nature of women, which actually works also in investment arena, which I said is also a strength, because sometimes, you have to have a diversified portfolio and not be overly aggressive in your investment strategy. So I think, you know, it's also about, you know, getting the basic knowledge. I think it's also women by nature are not comfortable doing something which they don't understand so well or have not researched it enough. And that is where, you know, probably the hesitancy to invest in, say, riskier asset classes like equity, because they have not, they don't feel confident enough because they have not spent time researching on that. And, you know, and that is probably one of the reasons why the little bit of discomfort is there. So when we, as women, when we do something, we like to be very sure, and we are, you know, very, I think, research focused. Even in, you know, even if you have to buy a simple thing like a jewelry or a dress or anything, I think we do so much of research before we actually go ahead and buy it. And you know, that is what differentiates women from men. I think that probably women like to be more you know, research oriented, and I think that's where if that is taken care of, they need to spend a little bit of time getting the basics in place. And once that they have that, I think that that problem, I think, should solve itself.
Okay. All right, then. Thanks a lot for all the insights, Ms. Vaswani. It was great to have you on the show. Thanks a lot for being part of this show.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
With that, it is a wrap of this episode of Simply Save. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.